Lord, thank you for the space to come together today, to be able to pause and gaze at your word. In one way, we want to study it, sure, but we want to experience it. We want to know it and understand it today. And so, Lord, we come humbly knowing that, wow, we need help with that by your Holy Spirit to do that, especially to talk about a text like today, particularly, with its depth and unbelievable, profound nature. So, Lord, I pray that you would teach us today, that you would lead us and guide us in our time. We pray this in the name of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. To you, Father. Amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20. These may sound a little familiar to you, these verses, when I read them in a minute, because this was one of our texts of the quarter. But during the summer, we had the decision to think about texts that have formed me, right? It was particularly pointed to me, but to kind of share those, right, what those are. And so for 3 weeks in a row now, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, three texts, knowing Jesus for 3 weeks. All right, we're going to do Colossians 1, knowing Jesus' profound identity. That's today. Next week, profound identity in knowing Jesus. Do you see the flip and reverse of that? Knowing Jesus' profound identity, the profound identity in knowing Jesus. And then September 1st, the holiday weekend, will be on Ephesians 1, get to know Jesus better. So, knowing Jesus' profound identity. I'm going to ask us to stand together as we hear God's word. And I'll see. I'll do it from memory, but again, when you do it in front of people, it's kind of like, yeah, but I know this one. I can do this. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. The Son, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. In him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, rulers, powers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the church, the body. He's the first to rise from the dead so that in everything he might have the supremacy. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, things in heaven and on earth, through his shed blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I probably skipped something in there or no? Did I do okay? Okay. Well, that Bible's wrong. No. So what is Jesus' profound identity? I'm not going to have you do a lot of back and forth today. I'm just going to go today, okay? So try and listen with me. I'll give you some rhetorical type questions, but you know, what did you hear and see in that text? And the fact is it's so profound. It's really hard to get it all. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. People say, "Well, I don't see God. I don't know. I can't see him, so I don't think he exists." The Son is the image of the invisible God. A physical representation and embodiment of God, invisible made visible. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's before all things. I'll talk about that in a minute. This is profound. So God the Son always was, always is, and will be. In him, through him, for him, all things were created and exist. Did you hear that? In him, all things hold together. What holds the atom together? What holds the cell together in all of its purposes and functions? What does this text maybe say? Jesus does. What is more, he's Lord of the church, the first to rise from the dead. God's fullness dwells in him, and through him, by him, his shed blood on the cross, he's reconciling all things to himself. Now, this text is absolutely profound. When applying a well-known, well-trusted scriptural interpretive tool, scripture interpreting scripture, are you reminded of anything you heard lately? A couple of weeks ago, Genesis 1 and 2. And God said, and there was. God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was sun, moon, and stars, the earth with its land and water, sky and sea. Let them be filled with creatures. This text from Colossians, who is involved in this? God the Son. Jesus is. Colossians 1 is talking about the macro side of things. From the ends of the earth to the edges of the universe, in him all things hold together. How about this echo? I asked you, did you hear anything from the last few weeks? How about Psalm 139? You, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In the secret place, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who's involved in this? God the Son is. Colossians 1 is revealing the macro side of things, right down to the human cell, that in him all things hold together. And I'll say this, I'll echo it. You are held together. And the one who holds the planets together is the same person. Holds you. All things created by him, through him, for him. That is unbelievably profound. And when we start to understand it, it's almost like, what proper response can there be to that? Who is Jesus? What is this profound identity? Colossians 1 and all of its glorious revelation reveals who Jesus is, the one who is life and light, gives life and light to all creatures, is the same one who shapes us, shapes all things, gives everything its design and its purpose. You ever wonder, how could this incredible design, why does this work so well? It's the Son. In him, through him, for him. So okay, I've done this before. Why is that consistent and helpful? Who's involved in that? Bringing me back down to earth safely. Jesus is. Oh, I know this is a little much, but I have one more sore I'm trying to heal in my leg. Come on. But you should see the one that is healed. Who's involved in that? Jesus is. The mending, the healing up, and we are praying for that for Karen, for others who are ill, sick. The spectacular Aureolus Borealis. Did I say it right? I don't know. You know what I mean, I think. This entire summer, for many of the northern states, I've seen so many pictures. Who's involved in that? Every time a rainbow appears in the sky, I have to tell you, it's very significant to Dion and I, the steadfast promise of God and how it's appeared in our lives that every time we see it, we are like, God, thank you for that gift of giving us that promise and that sign. Who's involved in that? Jesus is. I don't know about you, this last week, I had the, it's in Michigan when I grew up and different parts of my life, the thunderstorms are so ferocious that you can be camping in your trailer and you think you're going to die because the thing is rocking on its jacks. You wake up in the morning and the tents are all gone. The thunder booms and the loud cracks. The other day, there was one that passed over Boulder, and it was stunning. I sat there and just watched it for a while, and then as the thunder got closer and closer, right, it was like somebody literally right above me, standing under my porch. I tried to have a little shelter. There was a crackle, like a lightning, and it was bright, and I'm like, oh, man, that seemed close, and then immediately, it was like a shotgun was right here. And you just go, oh. Who's involved in that? Shift from the micro to the macro to the micro to the intimate relationship God has with us, with humanity. All of God's fullness dwells in Him. He's the Lord of the church, the Lord of the resurrection, the Lord of reconciliation. So let's do scripture interpreting scripture again. When all this stuff is coming out by Paul in this text, and it's probably an early song of the early church, I'll bet you. They got their theology minds on, and this is so profound. So back to Genesis 1 and 2, maybe Psalm 139, maybe another. How about the Gospel of John? God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, Paul says. Well, what we know from John is he opens up his gospel with profound implications of who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. It's as if Jesus, yes, moved into our very neighborhood, became like us. Now, Paul answers why, and it gets really profound. Why would God do this? Why could God become human, take on flesh? Why'd He do it? Well, this is Gospel 101, okay, and it's great today because we had a profession of faith and we're going to experience a baptism and we took in communion. And we're going to have fellowship time together. It's the core of Scripture's revelation of God's love and truth that we, even though born sinners, even though we are sinners, yet God loved us so much, He sent His Son. He's the image of the invisible God. The Son Jesus takes the penalty of our sin. He dies on a cross. 3 days later, He rises from the dead. What does Paul say? He is the first to rise from the dead so that in all things He might have supremacy. Well, what does He have supremacy over? Well, death and sin and hell, all of it. Resurrection says He's victorious over that. And then He says that He's reconciling through His shed blood on the cross all things to Himself. Now, that's unbelievably big and profound. This Jesus, wow. Why did He do it? Well, He did it because God is love. He did it because His justice demands it. I could give you reason after reason after reason that are biblical and grounded of why Jesus came and became this for us. Hebrews 12 gives us a reason that Jesus did this for the joy that was before Him. Now, you want to say, what was that joy? I'll tell you what it is. It's a reconciled relationship with God. That's like, that was God the Son's joy for doing what He did. How do you respond to that? So resurrection that we may have life, through His blood shed on the cross that we might have reconciliation, He is Lord over heaven and earth, the author and giver of salvation, and by way of incarnation, death on a cross and resurrection, in all things He has supremacy. Not only does God give us the breath of life, right? We know this from Scripture. We know it from Genesis 1 and 2. We know it from Psalm 139. We know it. We know it. God breathes life into us and we become a living soul. God also knows that we have this problem called sin. And He even says, I love the world so much, I love its peoples, that I'm even going to take care of that. Myself. Take it on Myself. This is what is called, okay, the core of the gospel. It's grace alone. Can't do anything. You just can receive it and believe it. Faith alone. That's the only way you can receive this. It's a gift of faith. In Christ alone, the one who this text talks about, certainly Scripture reveals it to us, that we understand that our lives are actually made and purposed to glorify God. That is exactly why. I mean, I think, why does it feel so good when I bike or I complete a race or I do this or that? I mean, those are just small things, right, in life, you know, that we experience. Or when I get to paint our, son and daughter's, their room getting ready for a baby. God made us for a purpose, to enjoy Him and enjoy Him forever. That's what we were made. Psalm 139, you search me, know me, perceive my thoughts, you're familiar with all my ways. Well, let me ask the obvious at this point. Who searches, who knows, who perceives, who is familiar with everything about me and of me? Jesus is. And He still loves us. Your right hand will guide me. Lead me in your everlasting way. Well, whose hand is guiding? Whose hand is leading? Well, Jesus is leading and guiding. And He just simply invites us, right? He outstretched His heart. First He did it like this, but then He does it like this. He says, come to me. Take my hand. So to make these claims of Jesus sure, Paul gives us an obvious clue. And this is something I want you to see. I don't know if you have the text open. It's okay if you don't. Just listen. Paul gives us the obvious clue in this text about what this thing is all about. Ready? Here it is. You tell me when I'm done. Jesus the Son is over all creation. In Him, all things were created. All things created through Him and for Him. He's before all things. In Him, all things hold together. In everything, He's supreme. All God's fullness dwells in Him, reconciling all things to Himself. He's the firstborn over all creation, the first to rise from the dead. So what is it? Well, all. And all means all. So what does this mean? And this is what I'll close with for today. And it's really simple, actually. And that is, what should be our response to this? It's so encouraging, right, to hear Kezia make a profession of her faith, because all of us are reminded, right, of that commitment that we may have made. It reaffirms, it reassures, it reinforces, it maybe even recommits, right? What it is that our life is all about. I got to tell you, we get distracted by so many things today. We just do. Some of it's our own doing, okay? Comes out of the human heart with all its wayward ways and the mind. Some of it just bombards us every day. I mean, I've talked about social media before. It's like, I just met somebody who said, I'm doing a 14-day social media fast. I said, I want to do that. And then I was like, can I? My job actually requires it now. Okay, let's just go on the word all, and we'll go into prayer here. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence I'll daily live. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. What a cool hymn now, right? When you see it in light of Colossians. Grace alone, it's really simple, right? Faith alone, in and through Christ alone. It's grounded and founded on Scripture alone. All of it for the glory of God alone. I actually heard somebody out in the lobby this morning say, what does it mean to be Reformed, like Christian Reformed Church, you know? And increasingly, I'm like, wow, you know, people really, it's okay. People don't know a whole lot about that, nor necessarily should you. But it's really simple. I'm going to boil it down for you. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. We stand on Scripture alone, and we live our lives for the glory of God alone. You see? People want to know what that means. That's what it means, really. So in Christ, we find everything we need. I would love, I know today I didn't have a lot of stories or a lot of things like that, but this text, like, I didn't even scratch the surface, really, of its profound nature, but I think it's enough, right? It's almost too much. So I'm going to ask we just go into prayer at this time, and that you would just join me in prayer, and we're going to conclude with a song just singing about the greatness of God, and then we get to enjoy a great time of fellowship today with a baptism to come later. Would you pray with me? Lord, this is like big stuff. It's like profound that this actually is and could be your identity. It is, and we want to be able to grasp it and fathom it, Lord, that there can be such things as a new life, right? Some of us maybe just longing for that, that Lord, we can have a whole life longing for that. That, Lord, we want to be known so badly and to be known for who we are and to be loved, to be accepted and received, to be led, Lord, in the ways that you've created us to be. All of these things, Lord, are so good, and they can be found in you. Lord, that today that there's just something in this text that grabs us, that we can hold on to, that we can lean into, that we can pray about and wonder about and even ask questions of you. You welcome that. Lord, to you be the glory for the things of this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.